Well, welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and we have a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking with Dr. Deborah Zucker about her book, The Vitality Map, in the first part of the show. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Bruce Fife about his book, Stop Vision Loss Now. But before we do any of that, here's Alan with the Health News.
A delay in diagnosing dementia can put people at risk, a new study suggests. People who have signs of probable dementia but haven't yet been formally diagnosed are nearly twice as likely as those who have been diagnosed to be performing potentially unsafe activities such as cooking, driving, and managing their medication and finances. The study included information from more than 7,600 Americans. All were 65 or older. The study did find that people with dementia symptoms, whether undiagnosed or diagnosed with dementia, were less likely to engage in such activities overall. Study leader Dr. Halima Amjad said that in itself is good news, though the numbers are still important from a public health and safety standpoint. Either the patients themselves or their family members are self-regulating and doing these activities less frequently as their disease is progressing. Patients and their families need to be aware of dementia so doctors and loved ones can take measures to protect patients, the researchers said. The study findings were published online June 2nd in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. Mindfulness meditation seems to help breast cancer patients better manage symptoms of fatigue, anxiety, and fear of recurrence, a new study suggests. Previous research has found that mindfulness meditation can reduce stress and anxiety in the general population, as well as in breast cancer survivors. But there hadn't been many large clinical trials to test the value of the practice among breast cancer patients, said study author Cecile Lingacker, director of the predoctoral fellowship program at the University of South Florida in Tampa. In her study, those who took part in the six-week program had less anxiety, fear of recurrence, and less fatigue compared to those who did not take the program, she found. The effect was small to moderate, she added. Lingacker said of the program, known as mindfulness-based stress reduction, it works right away. For the study, Lingacker and her colleagues randomly assigned 322 women who had been treated for breast cancer to the six-week mindfulness program or to a comparison group that did not learn the technique. The study was published online May 31st in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. Social media likes appear to have a powerful effect on the teen brain, new research suggests. Getting a large number of likes on their own photos or the photos of their peers activated the same brain circuits turned on by such things as eating chocolate or winning money, the study found. Lead author Lauren Sherman, a researcher in the University of California, Los Angeles, Amundsen Lovelace Brain Mapping Center, said when the teens saw their own photos with a large number of likes, they saw activity across a wide variety of regions in the brain. The study included 32 teens, 13 to 18 years old, looking at social media. They had functional MRI scans while looking at photos and the number of likes the photos received. Each of the teens submitted 40 of the photos they were shown while undergoing fMRI. In reality, the researchers controlled the number of likes each photo received, but this was not revealed to the teens. The study was published May 31st in the journal Psychological Science. The number of babies born to American teenage girls fell another 8% in 2015, reaching a new record low. According to the report from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, mums aged 15 to 19 accounted for about 22 of every 1,000 live births in 2015, down from about 24 per 1,000 the year before. Dr. Jennifer Wu, an obstetrician-gynecologist at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City, applauded the news. Most teenagers are not financially or emotionally equipped to be mothers at this point in their lives, she said. Teenage pregnancies present a myriad of social, medical, and economic problems, she added, and most of these pregnancies are unplanned, and these mothers miss out on important aspects of prenatal care. Overall, the report from the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics saw a continuation of a trend in which American women are having children later in life. The report, published June 2nd, was based on nearly 100% of all birth certificates collected across the 50 states.
Well, thanks for that, Alan. Our first guest, Dr. Deborah Zucker, is a licensed naturopathic physician, a transformational health coach, and is the author of The Vitality Map. Dr. Zucker, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about, this book and why you felt the need for it and why you wrote it.
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, the book is born from my own healing journey, which is also what led me to become a physician. And basically what spurred it is that I see so much of what's happening in the realm of health and medicine and self-care missing the deeper dimensions of what it actually takes to guide ourselves into the fullest, deepest state of vitality that we can actually be living in throughout our lives. And I see so many, you know, of the clients that come to me having spent years, you know, in these boom and bust cycles around trying out all these different modalities and supplements and things to do that seemed great, you know, in theory, but the actuality is that they weren't actually sustaining the changes that they were seeking. And so this book to me was, what is it that actually allowed me and allows my clients to sustain those changes? And so I created a map, you know, of what I see that it takes to drop into those deeper dimensions of health and self-care.
Dr. Zucker, I'm just going to get you to, you know, when you're talking, just hold that phone close because we're getting it. The levels are going up and down a fair bit there. Tell us a little bit about your health concerns, because you were laid out pretty much, even though you thought you were doing something that was life-giving for you, you kind of really wore you out, and you ended up pretty much on the couch, didn't you?
Exactly. Yeah, I was 24 years old at the time, and I was living and working in a sustainability living institute, you know, eating organic and exercising, you know, doing the things that seemed like they were healthy, and yet, yeah, I spun down into chronic fatigue and was laid out, and it was a really humbling journey, but also one that drew me into the deeper dimensions of, oh, okay, it's not just about these habits that, you know, we all think of as what it takes to be healthy, but actually I had to become intimately aware of my emotions and of what it is that actually, for me uniquely, brings me alive in life. What is it that sparks that in me? And how do I disentangle from the stress patterns and the expectations of myself and the things that were wearing on me, you know, in the midst of you know, trying to do good for myself and the world? And, yeah.
You know, you say that you're working a lot with a, you know, variety of clients who are at the same place, you know, that you were, to greater or lesser degrees. What is the first thing on, you know, when we're talking about your roadmap that you talk about in this book, what is the first thing that people need to do when they find that they're either going down that path towards chronic fatigue or they're already there?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds sort of simplistic, but in a way, I feel like it's to stop, you know, and reach out for support and assess our lives at a deeper level, you know, kind of step out of the assumptions that we're living in and to really assess. And you know, I have these 9 keys laid out in my book, and the first one that comes to mind with your question, even though there's actually a progression in how each of the keys builds on each other, is key number 5, which is aligning with your yes. And I'm speaking to that one because I think so often for those of us that are burnt out or exhausted, there's something missing, you know, where our life energy is invested in things that might not actually be in alignment for us or might be out of balance. And disentangling, you know, from the ways in which we're losing our life energy and it's not getting fed back and nourished. So it's about both investing where we do get returns, where we actually do come alive with the things that we're doing and the people we're caring for and all of our daily habits, and then also having the courage to create those separations and to say no to the things that actually aren't serving us. That's a huge thing with the fatigue pattern that I see in myself as well as in those that I work with.
How is it that we determine what is really life-giving for us and what's not, especially if we're caught in this pattern of fatigue?
Mm-hmm. That to me, so, you know, each of us, you know, is the only one that can receive the feedback from our body and being and all the choices we're making. So in a way, that the answer to your question is about developing greater self-intimacy, which is actually key number 3 in my book. It's about taking the time to cultivate the awareness and to have the courage to become more honest with ourselves around how are the different choices we're making, you know, from the foods that we're eating, from the work that we're doing, from the commitments of service that we're engaged with and the people around us. I mean, all of those different things are either in alignment for us or not so in alignment for us. And those affect our life energy. And so the beginning of that is actually cultivating the awareness and just having the curiosity to observe ourselves. You know, observe ourselves and how is it that each of these things are affecting us? When I eat this food, do I feel energized and alive? Or maybe, you know, a half hour later, I want to take a nap. And so that might be some feedback. Or do I dread going to work each day? Or, yeah, I mean, you can go on and on with every single choice that we make in our lives. But it's having the courage to take authorship of our lives and recognize that each of us is our own best health guide, because no one else is getting all of that feedback all the time around what is actually in alignment with our own vitality.
It sounds like it could be a scary process for some people to really to start going down this road. How do you give them permission to do that?
How do you get the permission?
Does it take somebody else to say, oh, you know what, it's okay to do that? Does it have to come from the outside, or do we get to that breaking point and say, you know, like you did, you're on the couch and you couldn't walk around the block, and here you are, you know, how many years later, you know, you're helping people that are in the same spot. But what did you need to take that first step forward to make those changes?
Yeah, well, my hope is that people are able to reach that sort of inner yes inside to the commitment to that deeper level of self-guidance and vitality and supporting themselves before they hit the place that I did, you know, because that breaking place, yes, it's transformational, and, you know, there's such value in being brought, you know, like I was brought to my knees in life, and there's a deep surrender in that that was catalytic. And at the same time, I mean, my hope in writing this book and in supporting those that I work with is that we can catch ourselves before we really spiral down that far, you know. And really, to me, it's about a commitment to our own lives and a recognition, you know, that our lives matter, that each of us, you know, is responsible for caring for ourselves so that we can actually show up in support of all the things that we care about in the world. And what it takes, you know, in a way, it's like it needs to come from within. And at the same time, you know, sometimes that sort of wake up of like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to live like this. I know that I can feel more energized. I know that I can feel happier. I know that there's a different way that I can move through my life. I mean, that recognition can sort of come from the outside, you know, when we see someone else living in a very different way, or, you know, someone picks up my book and starts reading, I'm like, oh, like, I didn't even think about that there was this possibility that I could be intimate with my own self-care and with the guidance of my life in this way, because no one ever modeled that for me. I mean, I kind of think of what I write about in this book as a lot of basic life skills that most of us were never taught. And with that comes an awareness or perspective shift. And so that can come from the outside, where, you know, that jolt of sort of waking up of, oh, it doesn't have to be like this. I don't have to assume that just because I'm this age, this is what I'm supposed to feel like, or it's all downhill from here. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. And the inner commitment and the shift most definitely has to come from within. You know, no one else is responsible for us but us.
We're talking with Dr. Deborah Zucker about her book, The Vitality Map. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out more about how you can increase your vitality, your energy, and change your life.